This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's your inside pass to everything Saints football.
See you later, bye. Touchdown, Rashid Shaheed.
We'll take you to places most fans never go. To practice, to the sideline, to the locker room. Following every twist, turn, and touchdown of the Saints season.
That is going to be a touchdown, Taysom Hill. Taysom TD.
Welcome to Inside Black and Gold.
To the end zone, and that is a touchdown for Chris Olave.
Now, here are your hosts, Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak.
Oh, baby!
Welcome Inside Black and Gold, Steve Geller, Jeff Nowak, and been kind of busy despite being in the quote-unquote dead period right now of the NFL. Get into a bunch with the, you know, assistant coaching hires for Kellen Moore. It's been interesting to keep up with and seeing, you know, just how many connections he has with some of these guys that are now coming to New Orleans. And also, we just got word as we're, you know, started recording this podcast that there is an internal elevation that we kind of expected on that coaching staff as well. Ton to get into, though, this episode. And me, as an Eagles fan, still flying high from the Super Bowl, I can't get enough of the Kendrick Lamar, whatever, you know, people are putting out there in memes or reels, whatever. I'm eating it all up.
Yeah, no, it's weird because there's a lot of information, there's a lot of news, but there also isn't, because it's not like an actionable news. It's kind of like, all right, we needed the coach there, we got a coach there. Great, moving on. And so all until this last one have been relative to the offensive side of the ball. So we'll get into it. There's been what, five hires, a couple guys being retained, and then a few interviews on the defensive side. But all the hires and all the hires have been on the offensive side, right? So we'll go through all those. A lot of young coaches, and I think that's something that the Saints, I don't know if that was their goal going in, but it's definitely true. The Saints have a very young coaching staff, at least on the offensive side of the ball. That could change in the defensive side of the ball as you kind of build this out. But all the elder statesman coaches, they're gone, and you kind of just have this youth movement here. So we'll go through all of that in this first segment. Second segment, I want to play an interview we did with Jeff Morrow. He's a retired sports editor who covered Kellen Moore in high school, and he wrote this really great feature article on the Tri-City Herald, basically explaining that Kellen Moore has always been a football savant. He was that as a high school player, he was that as a college player, and he's been that as a coach. And it's no surprise to him that Kellen Moore is now the youngest head coach in the NFL, getting that job at only 36 years old. So we're going to listen to that interview. And then the final segment I want to get into, the NBC Sports put out a, you know, those, you know, $5, $4, $3, $2, $1 budget things, pick five players, make your team. So I thought it'd be fun to kind of go through that. I have a take on Joe Burrow that is Saints specific. And I also think it's worth talking about like how far away the Saints are from having a single player appearing on that type of graphic. Because I think that's telling of where they are as a team right now and why Kellen Moore has quite the task ahead of him. But these six coaches, these five coaches that were hired, let's just go through them. So Scott Tolzien, quarterbacks coach. Chase Haslett, or the son of Jim Haslett. So connections that way, also has worked with Kellen Moore. He's going to be your tight ends coach. He's 32 years old. Scott Tolzien is 37 years old. Brendan Nugent, former Saints offensive line coach, coming back as the Saints offensive line coach. He's 42. Joel Thomas, former Saints running backs coach, took a year, sabbatical, if you will, like in New York, coaching their running backs. Now he's back. He's actually 50. So he's probably going to be the oldest coach on the Saints when all is said and done. And then TJ Paginetti, we don't have an official title for him yet. I have to imagine he'll be something with the offensive line for the Saints. He's been with the Eagles forever. I'm honestly surprised that he jumped ship at this point, considering he's been there through multiple coaching tenures and was probably in line.
Early days.
He's probably in line for a promotion. Maybe that's why he decided to leave, because they weren't going to give him the promotion that he probably felt. Yeah, I've been here forever, guys. But he was involved with that offensive line that, you know, I think everyone around the NFL would want a piece of that if they could get it. Doug Nussmeier was the other name that we fully expect to be the offensive coordinator. One of the reasons we waited until today was because, hey, maybe they'll just hire Doug so we can talk about it as if it's a hire. Probably will happen this afternoon right after we finish recording.
No doubt.
That's just how it works. I'm going to talk about it as if he's the offensive coordinator, because I'd be stunned if he's not. But those five guys are the hires. Doug Nussmeier would probably be the only only domino left to fall. And then you'll have a few assistants down the line with they make decisions on, like a Jari Evans, Kevin Petrie, guys like that. Any of those names kind of stick out to you? What are your thoughts on that group as a whole?
It was interesting to see, you mentioned the walkabout with Joel Thomas. What the heck happened with the New York Giants that he was like, I'm ready to go back to New Orleans. Sign me back up for what's going on over there. The relationship you've imagined he's built up with Alvin Kamara can only be a plus going forward, though. Coming back with the team, I know you put out there too that AK's got to be happy about this. And it's nice to get your star offensive weapon all about this coaching staff right off the bat, bringing back a guy he's familiar with.
Yeah, so I'm sure something, if it was going great with the Giants, he probably wouldn't have wanted to jump ship. Because, you talk about, Derek Foster, Saints former running backs coach, he's now with the Cowboys. But that was a scenario where they, changed everything, and it was kind of the writing was on the wall. Like, you're not guaranteed a job. You probably won't have a job. So he went and got the running backs coach with the Cowboys, right? I think Joel Thomas leaving was a lot more about, at that point, what was going on with the Saints. And you see, hey, we're going to reset the deck on offense. Probably isn't going to have a job when all is considered then. So I think him departing then was kind of similar to Derek Foster departing this year of, like, I don't know if he ever wanted to leave, but he didn't really have much of a choice. And he found an opportunity with the Giants. He went and took it. All that said, Joel Thomas doesn't really have a connection with Kellen Moore. He's one of the few coaches on this list that doesn't have kind of a direct coaching connection with Kellen Moore. And I think this hire is a lot more about Alvin Kamara than it is necessarily about, hey, I desperately want Joel Thomas here, as I'm Kellen Moore and I desperately want to bring in Joel Thomas. I want to go get a coach who's going to coach my star running back, and my star running back is going to be happy about it. Right. And, and I wouldn't advocate for that in any other room. Right. Quarterbacks coach, you might say the same thing. It's a small room. There's only one or two guys that you're really focusing on. But at the same time, I need that quarterbacks coach to be able to translate what I'm trying to do to my quarterback. And I need him to be able to kind of be that go-between, whether it's Derek Carr, whether it's somebody else. That's an important relationship that is more about information than it is about the quarterback liking that guy. And obviously, you need that to happen as well. But I think Scott Tolzien is a former quarterback. He can do that. I'm not worried about that.
Right.
The running back room is probably the only room on the team where I will hire a coach to make one guy happy. Because at the end of the day, Alvin Kamara is the guy. Kendre Miller, Jamal Williams, you draft a running back, whatever. I'm pretty comfortable that Joel Thomas can work with those guys. But if I bring in a running back coach and Alvin doesn't like him, then that's done. Then that room is shot. And I've said early on, like, if I'm Kellen Moore, one of my biggest priorities on day one is to get Alvin on my side.
Absolutely.
It's to make sure that Alvin, who I would argue is the leader of that locker room, you can say it's Derek Carr, you can say it's the quarterback, whatever. If you don't have Alvin, you don't have that locker room, at least not the offensive side of the equation. And I think Joel Thomas is a big, like he was around for Alvin's entire career. Alvin Kamara is in what, year 9? He was drafted in 2017. So year 8, I lost track, but all but one of those seasons, Joel Thomas was his running backs coach. So, you know, I genuinely think like that is not about Kellen Moore being like, I like this guy, I like this guy. It's about, okay, who does Alvin want to be his running backs coach? I'm going to go get him.
No, that makes a boatload of sense. Getting your star player at ease. And, you know, it's someone that Joel Thomas, he's got that rapport with Kamara. And it's not just even, you know, the X's and O's stuff, just being off the field, having someone to lean on, a voice that he can, you know, sound some things off, and that'll get back to Kellen. If KK doesn't, you know, feel comfortable with going right to the coach, you got a voice in a guy like Joel Thomas around that, I don't know. It just seemed like a smart move all the way around, just because the experience, obviously Thomas has been here before. And like you said, making AK happy is definitely priority at number one with this squad.
Yeah, and Joel's funny because it's like, you know, you look up this list of like, oh, this is young coaches. And you look at a picture of Joel and you're like, oh, he must be a young guy. And he's like, no, right. He's 50. He just aged very well. He's a young looking 50, but he's probably going to be, you know, if they hire Doug, he'll be the second oldest coach on this coaching staff. Doug Nussmeier is 54. We'll get to him in a minute. The other guy that I think is interesting. So
I always felt like Joel Thomas too, just looked like a dude that could hurt somebody.
Yes. Yeah. He looks like a guy who's played running back, and he has, like, he still owns like career records at Idaho where he was the star running back, right? Yards and touchdowns, a former Vandal, if you will. And, you know, so, but there is one other guy who's coming back. His departure was a lot longer in that Brendan Nugent was the running backs coach. I'm sorry, the offensive line coach. I got it from 2015 through 2021. He left. He ended up on the Chargers, where he crossed paths with Kellen Moore. They were on the same staff in 2023. It was an ugly season in terms of the head coach got fired and everything kind of was sent out in that way. But they at least have a working relationship. That said, if you had to tell me, okay, if you asked me who are the two best offensive players the Saints have, answer one would be Alvin Kamara. Answer two would be Eric McCoy. And these two coaching hires are now reuniting those two players with the guys that they worked with at the start of their career and helped kind of blossom into star professionals. Cesar Ruiz also worked with Brendan for a couple of years prior to Doug Marrone taking over, which his tenure, I would argue, was an unmitigated disaster. It was a terrible decision. They shouldn't have ever made it. It was a relationships decision. It was, in my opinion, if you have to look and say, where are the fingerprints from Mickey Loomis on this coaching staff over the last few years that really held things back? It was Doug Marrone getting that job. And so you're kind of getting back from that. And so, you know, I think Brendan did a great job with that offensive line. He had a lot more pieces to work with at that point, because you're talking about, you know, Eric McCoy, Ryan Ramczyk, Teron Armstead, Andres Pete, even. Like, people want to trash Andres Pete. He was a Pro Bowl guard for a long time in the NFL.
Right.
Even Larry Warford had a Pro Bowl season with the Saints. So I don't know if that's as specific about like, hey, Eric, do you like this guy? But I do think that Eric does like Brendan Nugent, and reuniting with a former coach in that way is probably going to be helpful. So we'll see how that goes. But, you know, I am of the belief that making sure your star players on offense are happy is a smart thing to do when you make these coaching hires. And to be fair, I thought John Benton did a great job last year, given the circumstances. You know, he turned Trevor Penning into a serviceable player, which I didn't know was possible.
Right.
He helped develop Tali Essefuaga, had a great rookie season. You got to give him credit for that. John, give him credit for that. He had a guy switching positions, a rookie left tackle starting all 17 games. So
was he part of the jettison to Seattle?
Yes. Okay, yeah. If you want to watch the Saints, the 2024 Saints, right, go to the Seahawks, or at least on offense.
Right.
If that offense starts like lighting up the NFL the way the Saints did the first couple weeks, you know, because I don't think that the issue with the offense last year was Clint Kubiak. I think it was the injuries, and it was there was a point that you just couldn't get it done. But we'll see. If that offense completely fails and is terrible, then we're like, oh, maybe it was Clint Kubiak.
It'll be curious to see. He's got a decent quarterback there, some weapons wide receiver and running back. So I'm curious to see what Kubiak can do with the Seahawks.
Yeah, and it's interesting because if I had to compare two quarterbacks in the NFL of like, okay, who's the most similar to Derek Carr in terms of where they are in their careers and how old they are and what they're able to do, it's probably Geno Smith. I think these two are very, very similar players.
I think that's fair.
They took different routes because Geno had to be a backup for however long before, you know, Geno is the reason Ben McAdoo got fired in New York. It's one of the funniest subplots I've ever seen play out in the sense that Ben McAdoo got fired shortly after trying to bench Eli Manning, who at that point had never missed a game in his NFL career for Geno Smith. And the outrage at that point was like, well, this isn't even worth doing. He's Geno Smith. We know he's not worth anything. And then like 4 or 5 years later, you have Geno Smith. Suddenly he's like one of the top quarterbacks and he's getting this extension in Seattle. And, you know, I don't know if you know, he's still in that kind of middle class of quarterbacking, but it's just funny because as you think Ben McAdoo's sitting at home, like, guys, I was right. You were wrong. Eli Manning got his way, but he ended his consecutive starts stint early, but that's neither here nor there. Clint Kubiak has Geno Smith now. And I feel like Geno Smith, Derek Carr are in a very similar conversation in terms of quarterbacking. You know, just a couple more. Keith Williams is going to stay on as the wide receivers coach. Smart move. We've already talked about that. Don't need to get into it a ton more. And so the next question is, okay, offensive coordinator, Doug Nussmeier. As I said, I would be stunned if it's not Doug Nussmeier. And one of the reasons is you look at, okay, where has Doug Nussmeier gone? And where he's gone over the last 3 years has been anywhere that Kellen Moore is, Doug Nussmeier is. He was with the Cowboys. Right. He was his quarterback's coach with Kellen as an offense coordinator. You go to L.A. with the Chargers. Kellen Moore is the offense coordinator. Doug Nussmeier is the quarterback's coach. Fast forward to the Eagles. Kellen Moore is the offensive coordinator. Doug Nussmeier is the quarterback's coach. So it would only make sense to bring in another former quarterback. So you have three former quarterbacks on this staff and Scott Tolzien, Doug Nussmeier, Kellen Moore. He understands, again, you're talking about translating to the quarterback what the head coach wants. And that's a big ask in year one of a new scheme. I don't see anyone who makes more sense. And this has kind of been the obvious pick from the beginning, but it was obvious because it's the most sensible pick.
And you mentioned it right there, from Dallas to the Chargers to the Eagles. Now it looks like to the Saints. Kellen's basically his right-hand man, and he obviously has immense trust in this dude and another former NFL quarterback on the roster. So you got to like that.
I think he would technically be Kellen's left-hand man. Because
there you go.
Kellen's right-hand man would be Doug Nussmeier, so he would be – anyway, you got the idea. Yeah, and so I kind of – you know, I look at Doug and I see a very – like – Pete Carmichael to Sean Payton, right? Like,
right.
Like the luster has been kind of taken off of what Pete Carmichael did with the Saints because of his last couple of years as offensive coordinator, was a play calling offensive coordinator and the guy who needed to lead that room. And I would have argued from day one that that's really not Pete's personality. That's not what he is as a coach. That's not where he was going to succeed. He is at his best when he can be in the background game planning. He's a football brain. He doesn't need to be leading that room. And I think Doug Nussmeier is similar. He doesn't strike me as a guy who has ambitions of being a head coach, you know, or at least not like at the forefront in terms of, yeah, okay. Like, I think he can be that Pete Carmichael to Sean Payton, right? That guy who's just always there as a sounding board, is able to work really well with your head coach who's a play caller. And you need that when you are a head coach because you can't spend all of your time on the offense. You need someone you can trust, but not someone who's going to try to overpower you in that position. And that's a much more difficult balance to find than I think people realize. Like, a lot of these offensive coordinators, you know, they're looking at the ladder. They're talking, okay, what's my next step up this ladder? And they might not be focused on like, okay, how do I best support this guy, knowing that I'm probably never going to get out of this position and in that way. Like, Pete Carmichael was a perfect example of that, and they worked really well together, he and Sean Payton, for a long time. I'm not saying this as a negative on Doug Nussmeier. I'm saying this as a positive about Doug Nussmeier, that he can come in and do a lot of the same things that Pete Carmichael did for Sean Payton, and that's a good thing.
The thing, too, is you have to – I don't know. It says a lot to me that so many guys that are on a Super Bowl champion roster – are willing to defect and leave to join Kellen Moore's cause over here.
Yeah, no, I mean, Paginetti is the more fascinating one than anybody because he's been with the Eagles in some capacity. Well, not since 2013. He had a short stint with Oregon, but then he went back. Like his entire NFL identity is as a Philadelphia Eagles assistant. He's had several different titles like quality control, assistant tight ends coach, assistant offensive line coach, whatever, run game specialist. Like he understands how they built that. You know, and so I don't know. We don't know his official title yet. They would have had to give him some kind of a promotion from where he was to get the job. So maybe he'll be assistant head coach or something like that. I don't know. But, you know, it is interesting because I think you go around the Eagles like area right now and they're just like, how did we lose this guy?
Right.
Like, why is he leaving? He's been here forever. Like this is his home. So no, I think this staff has really come together well. I thought Keith Williams, I would have been disappointed to lose him, and I'm glad they're keeping him.
I saw some nonsense. There were some folks that were upset saying, oh, still same old Saints, keeping some of the old staff around. And it's not necessarily always a bad thing.
No, and like if they're the best candidate, you want to keep them. You know, and I think what the implication there is that Mickey Loomis is putting his thumb on the scale and saying, hey, I like this guy, keep him. And I really don't think that's part of it. Now, it's going to be collaborative. It was always going to be collaborative. And when you're talking about a guy in Brendan Nugent, for example, who Kellen Moore worked with for 1 year and was here for 6 years, like, sure. Yeah, I'm sure he's bouncing that idea off the wall. And I'm sure Mickey came in and be like, no, we really like Brendan Nugent. That's a good option. You should heavily consider that, right? How do you feel about Keith Williams? We really liked him. The team liked him. Like, that's not a bad thing. You don't want just to scrub everything clean, just to scrub everything clean. Now, forcing a guy on somebody is a different conversation. And, you know,
we don't want to force anyone.
No. And I think Mickey learned his lesson in that. A couple, as you alluded to this, Phil Galliano is going to stay on as the team's coordinator. That was news that came out today. And that's a good thing, in my opinion. I thought he did a great job filling in over the final 8 weeks for Darren Rizzi as he took over the interim head coach role. One of the things that I don't think has been a problem has been special teams. I think Blake Groupie has been a very, very solid kicker for you, and he's only going to get better. It'll mean probably that you're keeping Charlie Smith around for another training camp battle, unless Darren says, hey, come out to Denver. But I don't know if Will Lutz would appreciate that because then he would be in that kicking battle. But no, I talked to Charlie pretty extensively in Radio Row, and he was concerned. He was like, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. And what I told him basically was like, hey, if they stay static, you're going to stick around. Like, they're not going to just kick you to the curb just to do that. So, you know,
I think one of the stronger parts of the Saints team, too, was the special teams, whether it was with Rizzi or Galliano around. So why not keep some of that intact? That makes sense as well.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. Like, just changing coaches just to change coaches doesn't benefit you just for the appearance of like being fresh. So I thought that was a smart move. And now the question is going to become, hey, defensive coordinator, what's your scheme? It looks like Brandon Staley's the guy. They did interview Eagles DB coach Christian Parker. Vikings DB coach Durante Jones, familiar name from LSU.
He couldn't coach defense at LSU. I don't want him around here.
Nothing went well that last Ed Ogeron year. They tried to get Ryan Nielsen. He said no. Actually, he said yes, and then Sean Payton talked him out of it.
Exactly.
But anyway, I would expect it to be Brandon Staley. He's another young guy. He's only 42 years old. But I think Brandon, you know, one of the reasons I think he is a very highly effective candidate in this job is going to be, he understands what it's like to be a head coach. He can help Kellen Moore in that respect. And one thing that you cannot find in any of these hires so far is a guy with head coach experience at any level, right? Even like if Darren Rizzi had stuck around, you could say, hey, there's some experience there. He was a head coach in college. He at least understands the mechanics of how this is going to work. Right. That's not the case on this staff so far. And so that's why the more you get down this list, the more it makes sense to be Brandon Staley. And there's a reason we're not talking about any defensive hires at this point, and it's because I don't think you can make defensive hires until you have your defensive coordinator.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to, oh, I got a secondary coach, D-line, whatever you got, and then all of a sudden, oh, here's the new defensive coordinator. Look at this staff we picked out for you.
Yeah, that's just that doesn't make sense. But I do expect it to happen quickly. Once you get, my assumption is Brandon Staley in that room, it's going to be just like this week. I mean, snap, 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 hire, 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 hire. And the question becomes, does anyone on the staff right now stick around? And I don't think that's, you know, Brian Young is really the only guy that, you know, would make sense. Joe Woods is gone. Michael Hodges is gone. And I say that in the sense that they've already taken other jobs. Not that like, oh, you're going to kick him to the curb. Like, they're gone already.
No, I wish we could have kept Hodges. I liked him a lot.
I liked Hodges too. Like, I think that's the one coach getting out of the room that I'm like really bummed out about, because I think, you know, say what you want about Zach Bond and his success. That's not on him. He doesn't make those decisions. He doesn't call personnel. He's just in there. Like, the linebackers coach is primarily, so there's game planning, obviously, but his job is development. And you can say anything about the Saints linebackers over the last 5-6 years when Michael Hodges has been in charge of that group. It's been development after development after development. Like, you look at even a guy like Alexander Anzalone going and leading the Lions in tackles, right? Like, Caden Ellis was a 7th-round pick. Like, we can be all up in arms that they lost him. He developed a 7th-round pick into an all-pro caliber linebacker. I don't think he won all-pro, but he's in that range. And Zach Bond, same thing. Like, one of the reasons he was able to go to Philadelphia and succeed as well as he did was that he was developed here. So I think that is a loss, but there's linebackers coaches out there, and, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if, you know, they try to placate a guy like DeMario Davis with someone he's worked with before, or some, you know, so we'll see. But there's no defensive coach news as of now, but maybe that'll be next week's podcast.
I was expecting things to get wrapped up this week just because, you know, what's next week? Combine.
Yeah. Yeah. But the position coaches, I don't think, have as huge a role in that as you'd think. Like, if you're now, I do think that you're going to want to know what your scheme is. That's going to be the biggest thing is, and they may have already decided this. They're not interviewing a single person with a 4-3 background. So it just looks for all the world like the Saints are going to be switching to a 4-3. And so, you know, that's going to be the biggest story of this draft cycle is like, okay, find me what positions. Like, you don't want to draft for needs, but when you're getting to the second and third round,
but we need, like, a nose tackle.
Right. Well, you do, what do we have? And you're talking about, like, the musts, the wants and whatever, right? Like, there's going to be a lot more musts on that board on the defense. If you're going to put those cards up like they do, and you're going to have a whole mess of red on the defensive side. And it's like must. And so that's what you got to figure out at the combine, is because you're going to have to go in there and find out, okay, what are the players we need to add to make this thing work if you do switch to a 3-4 or some sort of hybrid scheme? But that's something we will address. We'll address down the road. Anything else you want to hit on the coaching before we move on?
Not so much coaching, but Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, just put out Saints are hiring Ted Rath as the director of sports science. Perhaps best known as Sean McVay's original Get Back coach, and was most recently the Eagles director of sports performance. So another guy defecting from Philly to NOLA. Like I said, that to me says a whole ton about who Kellen Moore is, able to get these guys to leave a Super Bowl roster.
Yeah, and I think it also probably says a good bit about the purse strings being opened up and offering these guys some money. but yeah, so that probably means Dr. Matt Ray is out. I think he's going to get a bad rap because of all the injuries. I actually think he's been good in that job. I think, like, being more scientific, because this is something the Saints didn't even do prior to him arriving. Like, they didn't really have a very scientific approach. They had Dan Dalrymple as their strength and conditioning guy for like 2 decades. So we'll see how that goes, and we'll see if that changes how they approach things in their preparation. But either way,
needs something to shake it up, because what his fault or not, it was just abysmal this season.
Got to be better. Yeah, something had to change. But all right, let's wrap up that segment. We're going to come back here in an interview that Steve and I did with Jeff Morrow, former sports editor who covered Kellen Moore in high school, and talked to Tom Moore, his dad, and some really great insight into who Kellen Moore is as a person and what to expect from as a head coach. So we'll get into that, and then we'll talk about, you know, who's your star in the back end. Which, you know, why not? All right. Who dat? This is Inside Black and Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Steve Geller. Please subscribe. Otherwise, we'll be right back.